The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Athletico Physical Therapy and CDW.
March blows in with some big-time football. We are back in business and coming to you tonight from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. I believe the 35th consecutive year with a future yet to be determined. I'm Jeff Joniak, voice of the Chicago Bears, with my broadcast partner at News Radio 780 WBBM is Mr. Tom Thayer. Tom is not here. He's tucked away at home. But, Tom, we got Jim Miller, our sidekick here, our special guest each and every week. We don't even want him to rest until segment two. We're bringing him in right now out of the cannon. But, Tom, you had a chance today to listen in and watch and take a gander on what's going on in the NFL. We heard from Ryan Poles today, the Bears' new general manager, and head coach Matt Eberflus. We'll hear comments from those guys as well coming up here in the next couple of segments. But quickly before I bring Jimmy in here, any overall tone from what you picked up from those two fellas today?
Yeah, two things. If I'm an offensive lineman, I better be ready to lose some weight and get stronger. And number, yes, when I listen to Matt Eberflus, you know, every time I went to a coaching transition, whether it be in college from Dan Devine to Jerry Fouse, or in the USFL from George Allen to Frank Kush, or in the NFL, it's always the anticipation of that next hire, how much it affects your job personally. But also, what are the messages that they're sending every time they're getting in front of a microphone? And I like to hear Ryan Poles saying, look, we need to get lighter and faster. And then Matt continues the process of talking about how hard they're going to work and the expected effort out of every one of these guys. And you know, Jeff, when I listen to these guys and I see how prepared and how immediate their answers are at the podium, it makes me excited about training camp and going there to watch these guys work every day. Because I don't think anybody's going to be putting their hand up to get a veteran day off within the first week of the training camp. The OTAs and the mini camps are going to be as meaningful as some of the first practices of the training camp. But, guys, you're on notice. Be ready, be prepared for whatever position you play, the effort you're expected to give, and don't come in 20 pounds overweight.
Jim, I think Tom's fired up and ready to go. He's going to be hitting the gym like Miller has because, Tom, you haven't seen him. He's dropped a good 25, 30 pounds. I had to do a double take. He looks 15 years younger.
Hey, Matt Eberflus, he inspired me. I mean, you got to get lean and mean. But, you know, I echo what Tom says. I think you do get a sense of the standard of what they expect. I think, you know, just in my conversations with both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, they've already talked about what type of player they want. You know, every player, or every team, I should say, has a culture of who's going to be the right fit. They've already talked about the schemes of what they're going to deploy offensively and defensively and what type of players they're going to need within those schemes. So they're already on the same page from that standpoint. And, you know, much like Tom, I got a kick out of Matt Eberflus today. He's like, you know, it was pretty cool. He said, I reached out to a lot of the Chicago Bears alumni, whether it's Urlacher or Singletary or Butkus and all these great players that he's now got on his Rolodex and some of the stuff that they're texting him, he's getting inspired. You know, I think he understands, and I've said this numerous times, when I walked in Pittsburgh, that tradition and that history reeked all over the place. When you walked in that foyer of the old Three Rivers Stadium and the Lombardi trophies are there, and I felt that way when I walked through Hallis Hall, of the history of the game and how important it is. And I got a good conversation with both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus that they take that to heart. And he said it's pretty cool when you get those texts from whether it's a Tom Thayer or former players that he's communicating with of what their challenge is and, you know, what they need to represent.
So and I'm sure, Tom, that those messages, I don't know if he told you, Jim, what those messages were from a guy like Butkus, who, yeah, you know, and early. But these guys, when they hear about toughness, when they hear about playing fast and physical and giving great effort, those are all catchphrases that are thrown around by a lot of coaches. Right. But if you don't put some teeth into it and if you don't demand it from the time you get there into the time you are asked to leave or you choose to leave, then it's just going to be lip service. There is no way these two guys, Tommy, are given this lip service. This is how it's going to be, and you're going to have to adjust to it.
Yeah, I mean, this. Listen, man, the line has been drawn in the sand since day one, but it's kind of reinforced every time they get in front of a microphone. So you get there, you get hired for the job, you're really not familiar with the building, with the talent, with the video of the games from this past couple years. And then all of a sudden you start a little bit more study, you get involved, you know, from the small thing of having eye-to-eye contact in the same room as Darnell Mooney and how much he impressed him. So, you know, it's nice to see the positive reflections, but again, the message is out there and it's repeated every time, kind of in a different tone. And as the season kind of approaches, the seriousness to every one of the messages that they put out there, it's clear of what's expected out of these guys in the position, their philosophical thinking about football itself. And even Ryan saying, look, man, we need to figure out which offensive linemen fit in the best position they fit in. So there is no predetermined spot that, look, you're going to go here. This is where you're going to stay. Look, you're going to come to this position initially. You're going to compete for that position. And if we feel that you fit somewhere else more effectively for us, we'll make the change.
Philosophically, let's talk about that a little bit, Jim. And Tom, the offensive lineman. We'll start with Jimmy, though, because he was ducked under center with those guys up front. So it was clear they want him lighter and quicker for what they want to do. Whatever it is they want to do offensive, lighter and quicker. Juan Castillo wanted them as big as possible up front. So he wanted really big guys. What do you take from that in terms of what they might now look like as an offense from the guys up front?
I think they're going to be an outside zone running team, I think is what it tells you. They're not going to be a gap scheme. Again, this is in the history of this offense, right? Everybody's going to say, oh, this is the McVay offense. Well, no, it's not the McVay offense. Then people say, well, it's the Kyle Shanahan offense. Well, it's not the Kyle Shanahan offense. This is the Mike Shanahan offense. It was the outside zone run. Tommy can explain it to all the listeners. That's what they did out there in Denver with Terrell Davis. What were all those offensive linemen? They were legitimately 295 to 305 at the most. They were light. They were quick on their feet. They could move. And so that's what I think it's going to tell you. It's going to be an outside zone scheme. They may work in some pulling schemes as well with the power plays and things like that. But I think and then all the play action will come off of that from that standpoint. Also for the screen game, offensive linemen need to be able to run upfield and get to the second level to be able to block down the field. So you got to have guys that can move if you're going to go that route.
And in that sense, Tommy, as well, quarterback who gets rid of the football quickly, and that's what they're going to ask as well of Justin Fields. So does this mean, Tom, there are no more 335-pound tackles on the Bears in the future, or how would you break that down?
If they can move, they'll be there.
Exactly what Jim says. If they display the athleticism from the size that they're blessed with, gifted with, or developed in the weight room throughout their course of time, then, yeah, this is what you can go in here and compete at. But, you know, Jeff, if I'm kind of this conception of the outside zone and I need speed to get to the point of attack, and if you're a tenth of a second too slow, if you're not moving out of your stance real well, if you're a little off balance when you try to move at the beginning of the snap count, then, yeah, I'm going to have to make subtle changes with you. And I don't think we can ignore a guy that they hired last week in Jimmy Arthur, because he's going to have control of the weight room. So it's a fine line to have these guys be able to confidently and efficiently lose some weight but still gain strength. And I do think that's going to be one of the key ingredients here, because the better athletes they have in their stance, they have a wider variety of plays they can run.
Let's use the example of Trent Williams, right? Kyle Shanahan's offense, 6'5", 320 pounds, left tackle. Some consider him the best game. Remember when he was motioning him? He can move.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's an offensive lineman over 315, 320, who can move.
All right, sounds good. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. We're through one segment of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Coming up, we'll hear from comments earlier today with General Manager Ryan Poles of the Bears. This is Bears All Access with our producer Adam Studzinski in our Score studios on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Choose clean energy for your home at IGS.com, because every good choice adds up to a better world. With Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak, and our special guest each week from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, and thanks to SiriusXM for helping us out here tonight from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. Good to have you alongside with us as we break down today's festivities with the Bears brass speaking and all around the league. Jim was doing interviews all day with coaches and general managers. I think it's a cool thing. They're not all here. They're not all coming. They're not all obligated to do it. But just a little sneak peek. They're not going to tell you what they're going to do or give you evaluations on who's going to be a cap casualty or who they're thinking about re-signing in free agency or what they're going to do and go out and get it. But they'll give you some context. You got to use your two ears and listen to what they say to where you think you're going to go.
Yeah, I thought today I talked to Arthur Smith, and I'll tell you what, man, I'm impressed with him as a head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. One, because they were in meaningful games towards the end of the season, and they did not have a lot of salary cap space. You knew last year because they had to trade Julio Jones to clear up even more space to, you know, they signed, I think, only one free agent because they couldn't afford it. And they still have more cleaning up to do, so they're going to be focused on the draft. I think other teams are in that boat as well. When you look at, say, New Orleans, you know, that just won't have the cap space. New Orleans just cleared up $24 million today, and they still have another $30 million to go. So, and there's a lot of teams in that boat, but then you have other teams that will have some money to spend. It is a buyer's market. They've got to be smart at the contracts they're going to really pose to guys. And the team to really look at, and everybody accuses Mike Brown of being frugal, why are they in the Super Bowl? They not only draft well, but look at the free agents they signed last year. Trey Hendrickson, what a great signing. You know, and Mike Hilton, you know, comes over from the Steelers, and lo and behold, they find themselves in the Super Bowl. So I think teams just got to be very smart about their business decisions. And then, of course, you got to nail it in the draft. You got to nail your draft picks. Not all of them. You know, I think we know it's kind of a 50% type of deal. Some teams are better at it than others. Like, I look at a team like Dallas. Who drafts better than Dallas? Go look at their roster. All their starters, they're all draft picks. They're all draft picks, other than Amari Cooper, who they brought over from the Raiders. Dak Prescott was a third-round draft pick. Ezekiel Elliott, first round. Their whole offensive line's drafted. CeeDee Lamb was a draft pick. Dalvin Schultz, their tight end, was a draft pick. Want me to go through their defense? They're all draft picks.
It's a Bears show. No, yeah. Don't go through their defense.
That's going to be the challenge for the Bears, to select guys in free agency that they know will fit the Bears system, scheme-wise, offensive and defensively, what they're trying to do, and then nail the picks that fit what they're trying to
do. And this year there's five. And, Tom, we got a second, we got a third, we got two fives, got a six. So let me ask you this, because today it was brought up. You may hear some of it here tonight from Poles or Eberflus. But, Tommy, about again, everybody talks about culture. We heard a lot about culture, and every culture based on who's running the show is going to be slightly different. Different expectations. You want a tight team. You want good chemistry, of course. You got to have some great players. But you got to have cornerstones. And I'm wondering, because they're not going to say it yet, yeah, it's Justin Fields. Yeah, it's Roquan Smith, Tommy. But do you feel that they have now analyzed it enough? Because what they've done is make profile tapes of every position of what exactly they're looking for, so that the GM and the scouts are on the same page as what the head coach and position coaches are looking for. Do you think there's carryover of some of those guys that are cornerstone pieces for chemistry, or are you wanting to bring in new types of cornerstones to complement what they have right now with Justin Fields and Roquan Smith, just for starters right there?
I mean, you're always looking for those dream players, the guys that are going to set the standard inside the building. What type of culture do they come from if they're a draft choice in their college atmosphere? What type of culture do they come from if they're an NFL free agent? And what type of backgrounds do they have accordingly? Because, you know, one thing, if when you're a free agent, you're looking at coming to a new team that has a new head coach, these guys have great work ethics because they know what's going to be expected of them when they come here for their first go around as an NFL free agent. And then if you have a guy that is a college pick, you have to understand, what is their reputation individually? How well do they play when they're tired? What was the requirements of their coaching staff throughout the latter parts of their college career? And were they expected to do as much? or did they gain too much respect in their college atmosphere that they kind of got coddled a little bit? Because it's kind of hard to bring those guys back to earth. And so all those things you have to take in consideration. But if you're out there investigating an NFL free agent, then you probably have a good understanding of what their background is, what their work ethic is. But, Jeff, you really never know until you get them in front of you and they are playing fatigued and you got to see how hard they play.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I thought Ryan Poles made a great point today when he sat down with SiriusXM Radio. You can, and it's not just Ryan Poles, other teams kind of solidified it for me when they said that. Arthur Smith and other guys that we interviewed today said that as well. You can get a player's mindset by just watching them
watch
on tape.
Yep.
You know, for example, for the listeners out there, let's say a receiver catches the ball. Is he lowering his shoulder to get extra yardage, or is he running out of bounds? It's something as small as that where you can sit in the meeting room. Hey, man, tell us why you ran out of bounds here. Well, you know.
Business decision.
Yeah. You know, and you can get that. Or say during an 18-minute interview, because it's essentially what it is, a player may be able to fake it through 18 minutes. But, again, I had another coach say, well, we went halfway through the interview and said, well, what happened here on this play? And the player started to blame his coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Coach turned on the light and said, hey, man, interview's done. That's not what we're looking for. He didn't tell the player that. Hey, man, thanks for coming. You know, but they got the information that they needed, that this guy was kind of a finger pointer. Hey, blaming the coaches. Coach did this. They used me the wrong way. This, that, the other thing. You know, you can gain a lot from those interviews.
Yeah, Tom, you gotta rely on the tape because, you know, frankly, and it's no different than if any of us were going to a job interview and, you know, I don't know, you might have an agent still, do you, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they rehearse you a little bit on what, you know, the other side is looking for. Tom, I know, has never... I don't even know if you had a player agent, Tom. I think you did everything on your own. You're a self-made man. But, you know, they're rehearsed a little bit. So you got to find a way then, because there's ways to even trip up the rehearsal. Like, you tap on a guy's emotions, Tom. You find out what really gets them going or what might aggravate them a little bit, and then they'll tell you the truth. But the tape, though. So, Tom, like you said, fatigued in the fourth quarter. So I guess I'm watching fourth quarter of a defense that's been on the field for 35 minutes and see who's playing hard. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, all those types of elements. I'm going to look at a safety when there's a running back that breaks to the second level and has some open space. Does he come at that ball carrier with a willingness to make a hard hit tackle, or is he trying to strip the ball away from the ball carrier instead of making the tackle? Are those types of things that you have to study too? And the thing that's interesting about interviews nowadays, because these agents get these players so pre-prepared and tell them the right things to say, and all that good and well until they're being interviewed and that agent's not sitting next to them. And it's the same thing as a player, Jeff, because we stand there every single day at training camp practices and you got the coaches surrounding the huddle. And if someone makes a mistake, there's a coach right in his face immediately to tell him how to make him an adjustment. And then the first time you go into a game and you're out in the middle of the field and there are no coaches around you, that's when you really see the difference in a player that needs a coach standing next to him, or there's a player that can handle it in the middle of the field by themselves, and how to recover and, you know, how to have, you know, get a good play after a bad play.
That's Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak. Earlier today, General Manager Ryan Poles meeting the media for the first time at the Scouting Combine, looking at what they have on the roster right now and where they're going.
Yeah, there's some really good players. You know, in the press conference, we talked about Justin, we talked about Roquan. Those guys are talented players, and we're excited to get our hands on them and see where their ceiling is. And really, there's, again, with all of the free agents that we have this year, there's a lot of needs in every place. And it's not just starters, but it's depth. And we all know when you go through a whole season, a lot of times that starting 11-22 is not going to be the group that you finish the season with. So it's important for us to really make sure that our depth is taken care of as well.
When you looked at the tape from this past season of your offensive line, the players you have under contract, how do you evaluate that group that you've got in the building right now?
Yeah. You know, we're going to change it up a little bit just in terms of the style. So a lot of those guys, and the message has been pretty clear, we got to change body types a little bit. We got to get lighter. We got to get quicker. And through that, you know, I think there's some young talent that just needs to be pressed, and that's part of our job is to create competition and bring the best out of them. So I think we'll do that, and we'll see how, if the cream rises to the top. And, you know, especially with the O-line play, a lot of times, and I don't want to speak for the coaches, but it's going to end up being the best five to roll out there.
Ideally, where does Tevin Jenkins line up for you when you guys get on the field?
It's too early right now. You know, when we get back, we'll get organized. I think we put out the mini camp, the extra mini camp that we get in April. So we got some time to figure that out. But when we do, you know, we'll move those guys around and see where they fit the best.
Ryan, when we talked to you, you hadn't quite had the time to deep dive into what was already in Chicago, like on the roster.
Yeah.
I guess specifically with the offense, what did you see? I mean, were there areas where you were pleasantly surprised? Were you disappointed? Did you feel like there's more holes than you thought? What was your evaluation of all that?
Yeah, I mean, bright spot was Mooney. And then just, you know, as guys have come in to work out, we've had the opportunity just to introduce each other, and he stopped in, and I was, like, really blown away by the person. So that was a bright spot. You know, the running back situation's good. You know, there's good offensive linemen as well. It's just continuing to tweak that and making sure we get everyone that's fit and in the right spots. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Ryan, have you had any further evaluation of Justin Fields? Been able to watch a further evaluation of what you like about him on the field?
Yeah, that evaluation really, you know, I spent enough time with him watching the tape that hasn't really changed from the press conference, other than, again, meeting him in person. And I think there's something about the guy that's the stoic kind of feel you get from him, and serious and locked in and focused, and he's ready to go. So I think there's a high ceiling, and again, it's just putting them in position to succeed and seeing how high that ceiling is. And our coaches are excited about them too, which is really cool.
Right. A lot of folks don't understand in this first year of the GM, like you said, a lot of the important scouting work was done in season as college kids were playing. You can't just come in and bring your whole scouting department with you. You're hearing a lot of Ryan Pace's work, or his group's work, I should say. How challenging is that? And then do you, following this draft, then reevaluate and kind of rebuild that department?
Yeah, well, first, I've been through change before in Kansas City. So I've been through that process of adjusting grade scales and values and how people communicate and the type of reports that have been submitted and how they've gone through all-star games. So I feel like I adapt really well. I will say this. I was very happy with the group of scouts that we have right now. The meetings were incredible. And before we broke, I told them all how proud I was. Because as a new GM, you come in and you're like, all right, you're evaluating them, you're evaluating the evaluators. And at the end of it, the thing that stood out to me is there's a group of really, really good people that worked really hard this fall to gather the information. Now, my style was a little bit different. Our meeting structure was different where, as I said in the press conference, it was a culture of candor. It's open. We watch tape. We have order in the way that we watch the tape. But after that, everyone can speak their mind. And if I see something different than you, then I bring it up to the room and we work through it. And you can tell me where you saw it different and we'll go find it. So that group effort, I think, was refreshing to everyone. And again, I can't speak more highly of the group that we had in the room. I'm excited. And, you know, we'll continue to evaluate. But I was pumped about that.
Well, that's a good place to end and then discuss when we come out of the break, because if he's got a good feel already and trusts those guys with their eyes and what they've done and the kind of complicated information they're gathering, it says it could be a nice wave into the future with the Bears and this group of scouts finding players for the Bears, both on the pro side with free agency and in the college side with their determining here today, starting at the Combine and all the interviews they're going through right now. We'll continue on our conversation here on Bears All Access from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Jeff Joniak on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Athletico Physical Therapy. Visit athletico.com to request an appointment in clinic or virtually and start feeling better tomorrow. With Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and our special guest each week from SiriusXM NFL Radio, Jim Miller. Just heard from Ryan Poles. Tom, I'll give you a chance to respond to some of what he talked about. We touched on some of it, but I would imagine for a first-time general manager, because, you know, they don't come in and wipe out scouting department. He brought Ian Cunningham in from Philadelphia. That has been a big part of his ability to connect and really hit the ground running as a general manager. He trusts him, and he's a really good resource for him. But scouts are signed through the draft everywhere. They don't just get, unless they're just absolutely not going to work. So it must feel good for Ryan to be able to trust these guys. And I'm talking about the Mark Sadowskis, I'm talking about the Jeff Kings and all the scouts that work in their areas across the country.
Yeah, that's encouraging to me that he is happy with the information that is given to him from the scouting department that's in place right now. And it's something that Ryan Poles can listen to what a scout is telling him, and he knows if it's legitimate information or it's needless information. And it sounds like he has a great deal of respect for all the information that these guys have brought to their meeting rooms. And I like the fact that Ryan is telling us that he really got a good first impression out of Darnell Mooney, because so did we. And the more we got to meet him, the more we enjoyed his character and his personality and how important football is to him. We all know that David Montgomery in the running back room is a strong room. And I'm glad he said the offensive line needs to be pressed, because that's just another word for challenged. And I'm glad that none of these guys are coming to practice the first day and thinking, man, I got my position. I'm already, my place is set in stone. No, it's not. You're coming here to be competed against, to either win the job and impress the coaches or lose the job because you're not doing what we expect of you. And Justin Fields, he does have a high ceiling. You look at his athleticism, and he used the word stoic. And, you know, Justin is not a jack-around type of guy. He comes to practice with great work ethic. He gets out there early. He stays late. And I think when you talk about that position specifically, especially in such a young man like Justin Fields, it's super encouraging that you see that the most serious position on your team has a very serious work competitive attitude.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to give honest evaluations. The last thing you want is a bunch of yes men in the room where everybody agrees. Oh, yeah, we all think he's the same guy.
That won't work.
Yeah, that doesn't work. You know, Tom brought up a good point. Like, there was a general manager I talked to today who said they had a young man in an interview, and it was about effort in the fourth quarter. And they thought the consensus was he was dogging it. But one of the scouts in the room says they asked the player, well, you know, why, you know, do you think you're hustling on this play? He goes, well, I pulled my hamstring in the third quarter. And the one scout knew that he did was hurt, and the kid was out there playing hurt. And so his effort was actually exemplary with what he was dealing with, and he still didn't want to come out of the game and was out there giving every type of effort that he could. He just couldn't make certain plays due to the injury. So you've got to have all that information available, and you hope your scouts are doing all that homework like that one scout was, that knew the player was playing injured and brought it up. And that's what the good information that Ryan Poles can really go off of.
How'd you do in your interviews at the combine?
I thought I did pretty well. You know,
yeah.
I thought I did.
Anybody
pretty
trip
well.
You up?
Well, I think, yeah. They pulled up plays, and I think they. I don't want to say that they were leading you to. Well, hey, why didn't you complete this pass? And I could have said, well, hey, the receiver ran the wrong route. You know, it's supposed to be a corner.
He had horrible hands, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Coach. I mean,
yeah,
should have caught that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Cut.
I think you got to sell yourself that. Hey, you're a good teammate. You're accountable, reliable, you're productive, and that's what you want to, you know, really exemplify. For me, part of it was the injury even coming out of college. I already had a two label coming out of Michigan State because I'd already separated my shoulder. I had a concussion, and I had a knee issue that I think pushed me down a little bit. But I thought the interviews, I thought I did, that was an area where I excelled from that standpoint. And it never stopped me from getting work once I did get in the NFL. And I think from that standpoint, it was good. But, yeah, you could definitely, I could feel them fishing. you know, with these interviews, I could feel him fishing and, no, don't take the cheese, Jim. Don't take the bite. You know, so, you know, and you do. You got to be on your toes. You got to be, you know, and you got to be savvy. You got to be tactful. But you have to understand what they are looking for and what they're, you know, what the information they're trying to get out of you, because this is what's how they want to build their football team, with a bunch of guys like yourself that are hardworking, love football, and love to win.
Tommy, I don't know if you had interviews like this. You went to multiple combines, but did you have sit-downs with teams like they do now, speed dating, so to speak?
Yeah, let me tell you a quick lesson I learned. So my brother-in-law, who ended up playing for the Falcons for 11 years, was 2 years older than me, and he was a super educated guy, academic All-American 2 years in a row. He was a concert pianist. He had all this ability to do things outside the world of football. And sometimes he let a message known that football isn't the end all for me. It's part of what I am. And that's not the message you want to send. And then he ended up sliding. Even though he was a two-time All-American, he slid to the fourth round because people became aware of that message. And 2 years later, when I was going through the same process, Jeff, every single interview, I was all in. I had no other option. There's nothing else I was going to do. I was going to play football, and that's all I was going to do. So, I mean, I kind of learned a message from my brother-in-law, because I do believe that he slid a little bit in the draft because scouts out there, people, GM started believing, okay, this guy has other opportunities in life where I didn't want, I wanted the guys to think I'd had, I didn't want any opportunity in life other than playing in the NFL.
Case in point was Myron Rolle, Florida State safety, gets drafted by Tennessee in the sixth round. He made it known, I'm going to be a doctor. Yes, I like football. Oh, by the way, I'm a Rhodes Scholar too. By the way, I'm going over to Oxford too. He dropped out in the draft. He didn't play football very long, but he is a doctor.
That's right. Hey, listen, Michael Haynes.
Yeah.
When he was drafted. Tom and I talk about this all the time. You know, Lovey always tried to make sure, hey, you know, take off on this foot, not, and he wouldn't. And he had a Greg Blash, I believe, always said, hey, he, you know, he was worried about decorating his apartment more than he was ready to play football sometimes. So, you know, yeah, you do have to sniff that out. And in another regard, especially when you have, Tom, a strong-minded bunch of guys like you had that you walked into in 1985. And you go to the Super Bowl, and Jim, you're coming into the Bears in 2000. Well, that 2001 team, you were there before. What year did you get there?
97. End of 97, yeah. I believe.
So are your teammates that have been there a bit, or these types of players, offensive linemen, Jim, are they interviewing you as well when you get into that locker room? I'll let you answer that first, and then Tommy.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they want to get to know.
Like,
I mean,
Olin. Is Olin, you know, is he eyeballing you?
Well, fortunately for me, I had advocates that were already in there. Ty Halleck, who I played with at Michigan State, and a couple other guys who I'd crossed paths with, that say, hey, man, this guy's, you know, he's good character. This guy's going to help us win. So luckily I had, you know, ambassadors that were sticking up for me or speaking of me and saying, hey, this will be a good spot for him, you know. And but then you have to earn it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to earn it. Those guys have to go out. They or when you go out to practice, you've got to show them your skills. You got to show them your leadership ability. You got to show them your dedication of what you're willing to sacrifice to win as their teammate, and where they believe in you. And, you know, and that's a big part of it. You have to earn it from that standpoint.
Tom?
For me, you know, it was kind of two-tier, Jeff, because I was being coached by a Hall of Fame offensive guard, and he used to tell me, look, you can bullcrap anybody else, but you can't bullcrap me about offensive line play. I've been there. It may be different for tackle or center, but I know offensive guard. So you wanted to earn the respect of Coach Stanfield, number one. But then you also had no favors given to you by McMichael and by Hampton and the guys on the defense. They wanted to and were willing to do whatever they needed to do to beat you in practice to try to make you a better game day player. So it was kind of twofold for me, from my position coach onto the guys that I was practicing against every day.
I do believe, you know, I have these discussions often with other play-by-play guys or just people who cover the sport, and everybody has a different opinion, but I do feel you need some alphas to be those guys. I don't think you win without them. I really do. All these years covering Super Bowls, and you're in, you know, granted, it's just a week, but you're listening on every Wednesday, Thursday, Mondays now to how they operate, and you find out a little bit about them, and it sticks with you when they win. They just have a certain style and swagger about them. The Bears in 06 had that. They believed in themselves. They believed they were going to win. You guys in 01 had it. Certainly Tommy's guys had it in 85 and beyond. So who are the alphas? Who will become the alphas in the future for the Chicago Bears? We'll find out in the days to come. Coming up, we'll hear from Matt Eberflus, the Bears' new head coach, from his comments to the media today. This is Bears All Access. It's brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by CDW. People to get it. Adam Sadzinski is our producer tonight in our Chicago studios. And we are in Indianapolis. Jeff Joniak and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio moving the chains with Pat Kerwin. Good to see the tanned up young man. Yeah. You lost weight. He looks tan. You guys are getting something done in this offseason.
We're trying to, man. We're working hard.
Tom, we got some work to do, buddy.
You got
to
win in the offseason. Well, that's never worked for the Jets, has it?
Tom, are you winning your offseason to this point?
Oh, Jeff, right now I'm in the midst of raising three dogs, and I'm on my feet more than I ever have been in an off season in my life. When you got a brand new puppy and you got to take him out on the hour, I'm on my feet for sure.
Good. Good to keep you busy. And Matt Eberflus has been quite busy. First of all, he gets hired, and then he's got to put together a staff in short order. So he's been he did that and did so very well, with a lot of delegation as well. Earlier today, met the media as a member of the Chicago Bears for the first time in his old town of Indianapolis, where he coached the Colts defense.
Yeah, I'm just getting to know him personally, really. So I've texted most of the guys that are, you know, under contract, and I've talked to guys just about personal things. Hey, how you doing? How's the family? How you enjoying your time? And really, that's it. And just getting to know the guys and building relationships. So that to me is the most important thing. Once they come in April, you know, for the voluntary part of it and start doing football, we'll get a chance to look at them. You know, have we looked at them? Certainly we've looked at them for what they did last year and the previous years and all those things. But, you know, a lot of the guys, this is a clean slate for them, you know, and we're starting new. And I told a lot of guys, hey, you're walking on fresh grass here. You know, this is a new staff. New systems, you have to learn it, you got to dive into it, and you got to put everything you have into it, because our systems are not hard to understand, but they're hard to implement in terms of the player, because the way we ask them to play in terms of the physical style, the effort, okay, the mental intensity, okay, those things right there are going to be different to those players, and when they come in, they'll have to understand that, and they will understand it pretty quick. And it's going to be a little bit different for them, but refreshing. Yeah, you look at the tape. So as a coach, your resume is the tape. That's just the way it is. You want to know how I coach football? Look at the tape. You know, you want to know how a guy plays football? You look at the tape. You know, because a lot of guys can say certain things, which is great. Words are important. But action's more important. So I think that you just look at the tape and do they fit. You do that with the draft. You do it with free agency. You do it with any time you're trying to acquire a player. Does he have two things? Does he love football, okay? And is he willing to work really hard? And to me, if those two things are check both those boxes, he gets his foot in the door. And that to me is what the evaluation process starts with. Oh yeah, we've got those guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about certain players right now, but yeah, we have pieces in there for sure that fit that mode of loving football and playing really hard. So there's definitely pieces there. Yeah, so this goes back when I first got interviewed in 2018. with the Cleveland Browns. I got interviewed there. And everybody has their staff list, and I think that's an important thing. But the reality of it is that it's hard to get everybody on that list because guys are under contract, guys get promoted where they were. I mean, there's a lot of things moving, a lot of balls in the air. So I really leaned on the coordinators this time, and to Luke and to Alan, you know, and to HT. I leaned on those guys to say, hey, who do you like? You know, who fits with your system? Okay, and then let's talk about the list that way. Let's start our list that way, and then I'll interview them on the phone, and we'll get them in here and either Zoom or bring them into Chicago, and we'll talk to them. If they fit with our system and our style, then we'll move them on to the next stage, and then that's what we did. We ended up hiring a really good staff.
And he's taking that staff because guys like Alan Williams, guys like know exactly what they want. They got some of their same guys that know the system. So now nobody's teaching coaches. All right? These guys on both sides. And so now they can hit the ground running. I think, Tom, it closes the gap a little bit on educating the players and what they're going to do.
Oh, gosh, no doubt. Because, Matt Eberflus doesn't have to sit up there in front of all of his defensive coaches and teach them the system. And I think when you get out there and you get a little time with the new offensive staff to sit behind closed doors, it expedites the learning of these guys. And, you know, one of the things I like that Matt says is he's looking to develop a relationship player with the players, not a friendship, because I think that will come with time. You just need to have a working relationship with these guys, and then the fate of their relationship will work itself out. I don't think I ever had a head coach that I said, oh my God, I'm a great friend of this guy. No, he was my boss. And every single day I went to work, I looked at him as my boss. And I think that's the type of working relationship that Ryan and Matt need with their players.
That's why Tom and I get along so well. That's how he looks at me.
What, Tom's
right.
Your boss?
No, just the other way around. For the first time on the radio, Tom admitted it. I love it.
I've been telling you that for 20 years.
You brought it up in a break with me, Jim, about three technique. Is he on this team? We don't know at this time. But this is what Matt's looking for. This was also today. It's about being disruptive, and that's certainly, yeah. When you close your eyes, you know those three techniques, what they do. They got to win the one-on-ones. When they run zone away from you, you got to be able to stay in the B-gap. It's that simple. Those are the two things we look for, and they come in all shapes and sizes. And as you've seen it, they got to have explosive ability, though. That's the number one trait. Would you say it's as simple as that? And do they come in all shapes and sizes? And if they're not on the roster right now, based on, you got to go what's on the roster right now because there's 25 free agents. Are they in that second to third round range of the draft, or are you going to have to go in free agency? What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I think they are there. You know, well, the guy who sticks out to me down at the Senior Bowl played really well, Perrion Winfrey. I mean, that's a disruptive defensive tackle who really showed it in the game. But yeah, they're out there. They're in free agency. But I would think, you know, with this being a new staff, I would think they want to draft a younger player and groom him to bring him up in this new scheme that they're going to be running defensively.
Make him a cornerstone, if possible.
Tommy Harris, who's out there?
Yep, Tommy Harris. That's Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak. One segment to go. We'll look around the NFL, the news of the day, with all these coaches and GMs talking here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Final segment here from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, and I'm Jeff Joniak, along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio, our weekly guest. Thanks, as always, Big Jim, for helping us out. News of the day involving the Bears. You know, it was a lot of discussion, obviously, about Justin Fields, how to get him to reach his potential. Second year, they've studied second-year quarterbacks. What do they need? Tom, I've been talking about it. They're hard to find. When you do, you hope you've hit the home run. And he referred to, Ryan Poles did, look at the Super Bowl. And the first name you think of is obviously Aaron Donald on the defensive side of the ball. But on the offensive side of the ball, it's Cooper Kupp. When it needed something to happen, you go to Cooper Kupp. When San Francisco needed something to play, they went to Deebo Samuel. Or Travis Kelce for Kansas City. So these, you need one of those guys. For a quarterback, when it's third down, you got to have it. Clutch. Fourth quarter, need a play, keep a drive alive, score a touchdown, got to have it. So finding those type of guys, but not simple, Tom.
Well, you know what, Jeff? Okay, Cooper Kupp, Darnell Mooney, Travis Kelce, Cole Kmet, Deebo Samuel, David Montgomery. They got to learn the system. And I think that's what Matt was saying earlier in his press conference, is once these guys get to understand the system so perfectly, then everything is going to be able to fall into place. And so I think that's the key ingredient for Justin to continue to develop a relationship with those types of players to kind of assist the rest of the players come on board.
All right, I got a quick one for you regarding the Bears. Will there be more new starters on offense or defense?
Offense.
Okay. Yeah. So there will be transitional.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at, they're talking about the offensive line be quicker. Here I'm thinking of Sam Mustipher, who just gained 30 pounds. Well, guess what? You're on a diet now. I mean, think about it. He got up to 330 last year, and now he's going to be asked to lose weight. Again, there's a totally different body frame that they're looking for. Jason Peters is a left tackle. What'd he come in as, 350? He's off the list, you know, so there's going to be a lot of different players out there in my mind. I do like the running backs. I think Khalil Herbert and Montgomery are going to be fine, but there are no sacred cows other than the quarterback.
All right, we got less than 2 minutes. The big drill here, Jim. Got short answers. All right, news from the league. Tom, we'll get you in here too. Packers GM, Gutekunst, not getting trade offers on Rodgers. You buying it, yes or no?
Yeah, I buy it because he's a Green Bay Packer. They own the rights, and he's not going anywhere.
All right. Giants would take phone calls for Saquon Barkley, Tom. Would you trade him?
Of course. I would offer, you know, if I'm in the Giants, I'm in a desperate situation to get as many quality players as I can. And I think I could go out and find a running back, so yes, I would.
Jimmy G, our friend from the Chicagoland area, the 49ers quarterback, shoulder surgery after hand surgery. Will he be a 49er?
I think he's a 49er. I think, you know, everybody's dangling him out there to be traded. He's $24 million. Trey Lance is nothing. You got two guys that are really cost-effective under the salary cap, and he's led him to not only the Super Bowl but to the championship game.
Kyler Murray, Tom, according to the Cardinals, they still have respect for Murray and his agent. Do you after that manifesto the other day?
I think the agents are getting too much power. And for an agent to send a manifesto to tell what we're going to need for Kyler Murray to continue to be a Cardinal, you know, I don't like that.
I'll give it four Pinocchios on that one. Four Pinocchios. Yeah, they have respect for him.
That's Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. Thanks to Adam Dzinski. Also to our producers with the Chicago Bears, Dan Brilli and Jordan Tredup. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Miller Lite.